In our service, we have heard the story of the beginning of the first Western church, if you will, the first fellowship on the other side of that continental divide, the beginning of a people of faith, opened doors in every case. We heard at the beginning of our worship about that open door in the life of a woman who sold purple cloth. A woman who had already been cracking that door open a bit in her own life. She was a worshiper of God. And with other women down by the river, they were praying, and Paul stepped through that door with his entourage. But she opened it wider still. Actually, it says that the Lord opened her heart. And that's a key thing. Who is opening what? And she stepped through and stepped into something altogether new for her. And yet, not, for it brought the color out even more in her life. And then there's this story of an unfinished story, because it has me wondering about that slave girl. What happened to her? We don't know. There are so many unanswered questions in Scripture that I, for one, would like to know a little bit more about. Like, for instance, when I read Paul's letter to the Philippians, which is, I'll be honest, one of my favorite pieces of Scripture. It's a place that I turn to before I actually turn to, well, some others get into Paul's letter to the Romans or to the Corinthians. If push comes to shove, I go to Philippians. And I'm wondering some of the names that are lifted up there, especially women's names. I wonder if one of those women was not this slave girl who, in a sense, her chains were broken. I mean, she belonged to people who were abusing her gift. They were making money off of a gift she had for divination. And Paul saw things for what they were and changed the course of her life. And it'd be interesting to know what happened after that. Neither do we know more than the story about the people who were abusing her. But you sort of wonder. It makes you wonder. Then we come to this tale of the jailer. Now, this morning as I was walking, I was thinking about how the Apostle Paul had experienced some degree of hardship up to this point. You remember where Paul came from. Paul was a Jew. He was raised as a Pharisee. And at a certain point in his life, he took his faith very seriously and saw this new Christian movement as being a threat to the faith. And so he became what they call a chief persecutor of the church, until that point when Jesus blinded him to the past and pointed him towards the future on the road to Emmaus. That's a whole other story. Now, prior to this point, yes, Paul had had some, you know, as in this new life in Christ, he'd had some opposition. And yeah, he had people that would kick him around. They were primarily those who were from the Jewish faith, you know, questioning some of the things he was saying. And there was a point where it says he was stoned, but apparently not too badly, because he was able to walk on. The people who were with him kind of surrounded him in another town on the eastern side of the sea there. But this in Philippi was the first place where he was really beaten and put into prison. This was the first time that he experienced what he had done to others in his prior life. This was really the first time that he experienced, as far as, you know, the record here in Acts of the Apostles, this is the first time that he experienced a bit of what Jesus went through. Now, you note some interesting things happened there. You would think in prison, that, you know, having gone through everything that you had gone through, that your first thought would be revenge, your first thought would be anger, your first thought would be just to get even with those who had done to you what was done unfairly. I mean, they were beaten not for the reason that, you know, for what had caused it all. And yet here they are at midnight, and what are they doing? They are praying and singing. Now I'm going to return to the singing part at the end of my sermon. There they are, and at this particular point in the events, God shook things up. God has a habit of doing that, you know? If we're paying attention to things that are happening in our life, you know, when if we allow them to, in situations that are very difficult, oftentimes God is shaking the foundations enough, rattling them loose a little bit so things can happen in our lives. Have you experienced this? You know, for Paul, okay, they were in prison here, and yes, the doors were wide open at that earthquake, it says. And yet, nobody ran out. People were listening, not just to the praying and to the singing, but they were listening to what was behind them. And then here is this jailer. Now, my experience with our prison system is very little. I've got a friend out in Illinois who is a chaplain in the state prison system, and I get bits and pieces through him. But my little experience, you know, especially from going to visit Calixtus, is that, you know, our prison system is demeaning for everybody who is involved. To be honest, I'm not sure I would want to work in a jail. Would you? And it's not just the prisoners I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about those who have to live in that situation and guard over others. What that does to you. Not just looking at the prisoners themselves. I mean, we've had some problems downtown, haven't we, in the last couple weeks. You know, some things that aren't going so well down there. And I had one brother yesterday inviting me to speak out on this particular issue, and I'm not in the right place to be able to talk to the right people, though I'm not sure I know exactly what to say. But I have to think about the guards themselves and what they go through. And we see this a little bit in this particular guard. Now, in that day and age, I have a feeling his household lived there in the jail because they were right there. But he was ready to kill himself. This experience, I mean, why was he ready to kill himself? Was it just a matter of honor? Or was it the way things were? Anyway, God intervened. The foundations that were shook were not just those open doors. The foundations that were shook were in this very man himself. For something was opened by God in him. Were you paying attention? Could you hear it? How God kind of unlocked some chains in this man's life. And it's interesting to note that after he had responded with faith to what the Apostle Paul said, that he then went and he washed the wounds of Paul and Silas. And that washing continued as Paul and Silas turned and washed him and his household. Did you notice that? That was sort of like feet washing, two ways. Washing one another. But his question, What must I do to be saved? That's one that goes is throughout the Acts of the Apostles. Now, one recent paraphrase of this I noticed put that, what must I do to be liberated? And in this particular story, it is a sense of liberation. It's being unchained. What must I do to be able to live free? Just trust. Simple trust in Christ. Remembering that God unchained, God rolled away the stone, and Christ rose from the dead. Of course, the story goes on. Apostle Paul there, you know, if I could just briefly say what happened next in Acts chapter 16, you know, that the next day the authorities sent some representatives to the jail to say, well, you're actually free to go now. Would you just get out of here? And Paul says, now, wait a minute. You know, I'm a Roman citizen myself, and how I've been treated is not exactly right. I think, you know, there's little more that needs to be said and done. And when they heard that he was a Roman citizen and realized what they had done, well, they came to him, the authorities came through, you know, apologizing and saying, we shouldn't have done this. No, please leave. Of course, Paul and Silas didn't leave right away. They went to Lydia's house. Of course, that's a whole other story. But then they went on. But let me return now to that singing and praying that they did at night. I wonder what they sang and what they prayed at that moment. I've told you that I really get a lot out of Paul's letter to the Philippians. And in there we have bits and pieces of songs. I mean, they're in the second chapter there is a song that we believe was an early Christian hymn. And I wonder if this was one of the hymns that they were singing. I've put some of these things to a song, but I won't sing it now. But there's this song where Paul is quoting the song which says, though he was in the form of God, talking about Jesus, he did not count equality with God as a thing that he should grasp. Instead, he gave up all he was and became a slave. In human likeness he was born. This man put on humility. Obediently Jesus trod the path that led him to his death, death upon a cross. Therefore, God lifted him up high and gave a name above all names, that at this name all knees should bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I wonder if that wasn't one of the songs that they were singing there at midnight. I don't know, but it seems to be fitting that Paul would quote it when he sent his letter again. And certainly there's in his letter, and I'd like you to turn now in your bulletin to this song, and I'd like this to be our final song. Words that should be familiar to us, because we have heard them many times. You know, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. You know that particular verse, perhaps. I would like you to sing along with me, joy in the Lord, and remembering those moments there in the prison. Rise if you are able, and let us sing.